This is the Saxo Market Call, the daily financial markets podcast, across asset classes and around the world.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Wednesday, 21st of June, 2023. Markets, we're going to talk a lot about markets today. I think a couple of interesting things to look at here. But yesterday, a very weak session overnight in China. There was that disappointing small rate cut the prior day, affecting sentiment there. The Japanese shares were in a different place. But Peter, looking at that chart there, we have up on slide two, just the way that all these moving averages are stacked and the prices above all of them, and they're all sort of expanding away from each other. It's just an incredible upsurge we've seen here in financial conditions, low volatility. I guess the market hopeful, the Fed is going to roll over soon, won't do these rate hikes. It's just an amazing thing. I got some perspective too on how easy financial conditions are, or at least our risk indicators are. But just a quick assessment from you. And we had this crazy Tesla day yesterday as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know what to say about this market. It's just strong. You look at the VIX index below 14, the forward curve on the VIX futures, you know, suggesting strong underlying momentum. As you and I talked about, some have argued that the very high price levels on the NASDAQ relative to the 200-day moving average is not good for future performance. But you know, some of the previous cases in history has actually suggested that both the 1 and 6 months forward returns on equities are actually positive in such an overextended after such an overextended period. So and you correctly said, John, I mean, we had a general risk off in the market. Both the NASDAQ 100 and the S&P 500 futures were lower yesterday. We had China, Chinese equities responding to that disappointment, I would say, on the stimulus side of things. And but then, as I show on slide three, you have these pockets of exuberance. So there are two main pockets to highlight yesterday. So there were the speculative, I will not call them bubble stocks, because they're not bubble stocks, but they related to the AI fever and the speculative nature that the animal spirits we're seeing among retail investors. Tesla up 5.3%, PayPal 3.7%, Nvidia another 2.6%, Salesforce 2.5%, and then you had Polder Group, DRR Horton, and Lennar gaining as well yesterday, because we had a much stronger housing data for the U.S. in May, and the building permits also higher than expected, suggesting that, you know, as we have been pointed out, two things. So the U.S. consumer has absorbed and are, you know, adjusting to this new normal of 6% mortgage rate, but also the fact that a lot of the people, as you said, John, that are on the previous low mortgage rates, there is zero incentive to move house and refinance at a higher interest rate. So they just stay put. And we have had 10 years of underinvestment in U.S. housing, and family formation. Formations are on the rise in the U.S. So so there is a huge structural deficit there. So we're not getting the recession vibe at all from the U.S. housing market.
The cause and effect is the other way around, that existing supply being actually ironically constrained by the very high interest rates, meaning if you do have to move, there simply is so little supply to buy into, so you have to go out to the suburbs and get you a new house, a new build. And a very interesting cycle, very different from the last, clearly. And another financial condition I'll add, you listed some of those big stocks there. Bitcoin too, I mean, a very aggressive move in Bitcoin higher. It's in a classic sort of liquidity indicator. And then on the gold side, gold is quite heavy, and it's been very heavy versus non-US dollar currencies, but resting near support, sort of the 1925 area, I think was an intraday low last week. So watching that one as an indicator as well. And I think what really spiked gold lower would be not only these very strong financial conditions to continue, but at the longer end of the yield curves starts to come unmoored and break to new highs as well. Of course, could it do so, and we could continue to see such, you know, easy financial conditions maybe for a while, but eventually if the long end does come up, that's going to act, maybe the only thing that can act as a break on the risk sentiment here. And looking at risk sentiment or risk conditions in the market, roll forward to slide four. I actually ran this for the first time in a while on my global risk indicator I created a long time ago, when this is so critical in the months and quarters after the global financial crisis. Everybody was monitoring risk conditions very closely. Now I just use it as a curiosity indicator more than anything else. But just really remarkable how high we are above above a standard deviation, which is very rare on the upside. Very rare to get to these high levels. And look where we were last time. It was sort of mid to early-ish 2021. And it took a long time for the liquidity and the animal spirits to drain out of the market that time. You would expect if we're about to roll over into something worse that it's going to take some time. You need to start seeing divergences, maybe new highs in the equity market, but conditions are starting to come off a bit. So we could, this could run, in other words, would be, which probably guarantees that we're going to see a massive correction, but this could run would seem to be the message I'm getting from that particular indicator. And then rolling forward to the next slide. So, not a ton going on in the FX market. We've seen some corrections. The Aussie was lower on some dovish RBA minutes. It also had run very aggressively higher recently, but also that Chinese stimulus was weighing there. And then we have the UK CPI, the latest CPI data out this morning, the day before the Bank of England meeting, another hot print, 7.1% on the core CPI year on year versus 6.8% expected. And 6.8 was the prior number, and that was massively higher, and itself was a new high. So we're almost being out of control on the inflation front. Interesting thing being this morning, the market's reaction. So we saw Sterling trying to tack on a rally. We saw UK rates going a little bit higher, actually posting slight new highs at the front end of the curve. But the market's, I think, a bit hesitant to believe that the Bank of England really supply or bring this massive further tightening that is already priced in, 150-some basis points priced in here. So just quite a pressurization of the whole situation into the Bank of England meeting. If they can't get ahead on the credibility front, it's going to be very difficult for the currency, I would think, at some point, the realization that these real rates may be quite low for sterling. For now, or in general, the recent trend, of course, has been sterling strengthening, but just an interesting sort of nuance in the way the currency reacted today. So I'll be on watch for what the Bank of England delivers and a possible, possible disappointment. Of course, if they do deliver, we could get a further extension of the sterling rally. And then Swedish krona posting a new record low for the cycle. Just a very unique situation there with incredible pressure on the housing market and a very weak economy in Sweden. Actually cleared the worst levels from the global financial crisis. And then as Althea posted a slide on slide six, for us there pointing out the same things, euro sterling actually rallying after that hot CPI number, a weaker sterling. But fast forward to earnings watch, and last night we got an interesting one up here, so a little bit against the strong risk condition currents, that FedEx report late yesterday. So take us through that and other things you're watching here on earnings.
Yeah, we're not in the same room right now because you're calling in from Spain. That's also why the connection is as it is compared to me standing in this very quiet podcast studio. So I couldn't flag to you that I did have a small comment because I promised Althea to mention, of course, that her interpretation of the reaction in the gilt market, but also the way the currency reacted, was that the market is not really trusting the BOE. But we should point out that the swap spread as well widened this morning, and Althea is looking at this 5.5% in the 2-year gilt to be sort of the next target the market is looking at. And we have now a fully priced in 6% policy rate from Bank of England. So it's getting very juicy and very hot in the UK on the inflation matter. And before we go to the equities, and maybe you have you'll shoot back at me here on this one, or you have a comment, John. But I think that the crowd on Twitter, so that's the crowd of the economists that are believing in this, we will go back to low inflation, and there are quite a considerable amount of economists out there. They all point to this. The PPI have on a year basis have come down, so now inflation will come down. It's just over, and I think what they're missing is that the PPI are coming down, but the actual price level itself is still extremely high on the PPI. So we just come off a very high double digit growth rate in the PPIs, and now we're just back to very low positive gains. And I think what's missing here is that I don't think the goods part of the economy right now is interesting, because the high inflation distorts the goods industry. That's why China is having the issues they have, because they're seeing lower factory utilization rates, because the high inflation rate creates sort of it lowers the volumes because you only have X amount of money that until you get higher wages. So you're just cutting down on your quantities that you're buying as a consumer. So it distorts a lot of the information value in the goods sector itself. I think and that's why I keep posting that U.S. services core inflation rate. I think this is if you want to have eye on the right ball, using a football parlance, this is what you're looking at. You should look at the services sector. You should look at wage dynamics. What are the wages that job switchers are getting when they switch jobs? There's so many tight labor markets around the world. Look at in the U.S., a number of job postings relative to unemployed people. Czech Republic running at almost 2% in unemployment rate. I mean, there's so many tight labor markets everywhere. This is, I mean, focusing on the goods inflation will not make you money. That's my strong opinion. I don't know what you have thoughts on that, John, but otherwise, and then I can take these.
I definitely agree. And you also have the UK wages coming up towards that 7% level. So if average wages are going up 7%, how are you going to get to a 2% inflation rate? It's called second round effects, and second round effects are happening. So that's what we see. But and then the key from here is going to be, of course, these things can continue to burn on for a while, but we do need to keep an eye on those basic input prices for things like energy. And then slightly on the same point, so yes, we've seen a remarkable retreat in energy prices from those panic levels. But those panic levels saw considerable portions of industry, the very most highly intensive energy using industries, simply shut down. And the idea that we just bring those back online, back to where they were, because prices have somewhat retreated to normality, is nonsense, because the supply is not there to drive those industries. So it would immediately have a feed-in effect to respiking prices. So the question is, what is the capacity to next time there is a stimulus to gear up the real, forward movement and things like energy and mobilizing those types of resources without spiking prices even worse. Don't want to sound too doom and gloom on this, but it's just, I agree. And then I think some of these lower prices we've seen in the commodity front are somewhat misleading, not sustainable, if there is going to be a rebound in activity of almost any level here.
Yeah. Great points, John. Coming back to those earnings, we had FedEx yesterday. The guidance for the fiscal year of 2024, which ends in May next year, was quite bad or soft, I would say, on the guidance there. So the shares were down 3%. Not very optimistic. They're saying pricing is under pressure and volume growth. Coming back to this story again about the goods and what we buy, the spending is clearly in the services sector and not in the goods sector. So that was what FedEx basically confirmed. And you see that as well. If we look ahead, tomorrow our next earnings focus is Darden Restaurants. Really, a discretionary consumer item. And I've put in the their fiscal year 24 revenue estimate, so they follow the same fiscal year as FedEx, so it ends in May next year. And you can just see that the revenue estimates for Darden restaurants continues to be hyped by analysts that are tracking this. So I mean, again, I would say this is not really a recession indicator at all. That is flashing a red alert. And Darden restaurants are at the all-time highs, and estimates are being revised higher, and they have been extremely successful in offsetting some of the weakness from low-income families by lower foot traffic, but just raising the prices on their in a lot of their restaurants. So interesting developments. We'll be definitely be tracking that one tomorrow, and they will be reporting before the market opens.
Yeah, and I even saw a headline, I think it was this morning, that you're seeing a lot of U.S. Consumers abandoning all their enthusiasm for home cooking that was developed during the pandemic and simply going out to eat. That doesn't suggest a constrained household budget, if that is the case. Before I actually go to the macro calendar, I got sort of into I'm recording podcast mode, and it's like getting onto a car and driving from a fixed point A to fixed point B. I just need to stop. If you're wondering why I'm over a remote line, it's because I've been at an event here in Marbella, Spain. Beautiful place. Unfortunately, I've been working too much to enjoy it much, but thank you very much to Hugo Investing for having me over. It was a great event with a number of clients of Hugo Investing and a couple of Saxo Market Call podcast listeners. Apparently, a couple of them claiming that they listen to the podcast every single day. So I appreciate your feedback, and thanks a lot for hosting Hugo Investing. Thanks to you, Casper, etc. It was a wonderful event, and I appreciated the engagement. So onward and upward with business here. All right, so briefly on the macro calendar, what is the focus today? Yeah, so we have clearly, I mean, today it's all about Fed Chair Powell out testifying before a House panel today and Senate panel tomorrow, although I'm really not expecting much. The Fed is in reactive mode, Chair Powell expressing that data dependency in the press conference. So, of course, we always need to be aware of the risk of surprises, but I'm not anticipating a new message. And I would suspect that the dollar is not doing well here if these financial conditions remain really, really strong. We only got a bit of a dollar rally because of the consolidation. So there is, I think, a sort of a reflexive, you know, highly correlated dollar strength weakness to financial conditions, strength weakness in negative correlation. A 20-year auction today could be interesting, supposedly, for the long end of the U.S. yield curve. So always need to be on watch for that. A couple of bits and pieces, a Bank of Japan speaker, can't ignore that either, especially as it looks like dollar yen is trying towards the high of the range. And then all of the central bank meetings tomorrow that we've discussed, all bringing rate hikes, supposedly, a huge one from Turkey, but the Bank of England, the big focus, how do they deal with this really shocking series of core inflation readings? Do they deliver? Do they get market credibility? How is this starting to react around that meeting? And we'll have some more thoughts. And tomorrow morning's, Saxo Market Call. For now, that's a wrap. We'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be in the studio in Copenhagen with the next Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.